right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. It's your Super Bowl week edition of the show, and I am excited. I am always excited this week. It's, to me, if you're a football fan, and I know people say, oh, well, I'm not as interested in it, even though I'm a football fan, because it's too commercialized, or this, or that, or, you know, my team's not in it, or I don't like the teams playing in it, or whatever. If you're a football fan at any level, and I love football from the high school level, y'all know how much I talk about college football, and y'all know, obviously, with the NFL and the Bucks, I mean, I'm a football fan. This is the crowning event, not just in football, but it stands alone in all of American sports. And I don't care how much crap surrounds it, all the hype, and is it overhyped? Of course it is. When the game starts, it's the world championship of all professional football, the greatest sport in the world, and it's one game. And I can't wait. I can never wait every year when this time of year comes. So we're going to talk about the Super Bowl today. We'll talk about the Bucks as well. We'll have a lot of fun with things. If you want to email me, the email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameday at yahoo.com. The Free Stretch, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. That is Tampa's first family of Ford. And of course, you know by now, the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles includes unlimited years, unlimited miles. You get a 10-year roadside assistance package and 1 year of complimentary service when you buy from them. As if that wasn't enough, there's 65-inch TVs they're throwing around over there. So I've got one of those. I've been pretty happy with it. We can get you not only into a car, but into one of those as well. If you go down there and see Sean Sullivan, good friend of mine, fellow Jesuit High alum. He is the new general manager at Bill Curry Ford. Mention me, mention the show, mention the Free Stretch, mention Joe Bucks Fan. Just say Joe Bucks Fan, and you'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing and the new lifetime warranty. Of course, the website is BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. You can see all the numbers, all the inventory, everything there, and take a look at things before you go down there. Of course, the physical location, as always, is a mile north on Dale Mabry of the stadium, just down Dale Mabry going north on the right side of the road. You'll see it there just past Hillsboro, and they have got a great thing going over there at Bill Curry Ford. Go check them out. In the meantime, we've got the Super Bowl going this weekend. So, like I was saying, I mean, I know a lot of people, a lot of football fans, and I'm not just talking about you guys, the listeners who I love talking to, but my own personal friends and things like that. And yet by this time, and everybody watches the Super Bowl, obviously, but they're like, oh yeah, whatever, dude, I'll check it out, it's going on. And I never got that mentality. Maybe you were rooting for the Chiefs and the Saints, and you got the Patriots and the Rams instead. I never got that mentality either. We all have teams when it gets down to the final four that we're rooting for, and sometimes it comes through, sometimes it doesn't. But again, when you look at sporting events of the American sports landscape, the Super Bowl by far stands alone, and even worldwide. And yeah, I did some reading. I looked some things up because I was curious. Like, what are the raw numbers of people that watch television shows, and where do these things rank in the all-time history of things? Obviously, the Olympics as a worldwide television event is unsurpassed. That's not any one event. Of course, that's all, you know, 2 weeks worth of things. You know, literally billions of people, if you just take the whole 2 weeks of an Olympics, watch that. The World Cup's the same way. That's not just one game, although the World Cup final, of course, is always a huge number worldwide. But that's those two things, the Olympics and the World Cup, are what they are. Now, I was curious about the Super Bowl and where its place in not just the American sports consciousness, but the world sports consciousness. Because you always hear like the clips of like the Russian broadcaster at the Super Bowl, or you hear the Spanish one. You know, they'll have that. They've even got, I mean, it gets really specific. They've got like the Romanian broadcast and things like that. And you hear about all that as part of the hype surrounding the Super Bowl. And you wonder to yourself, or at least I wonder to myself, like, are there really people in Romania? They got a Romanian broadcaster, or even Russia. Are there people in Russia, like, going to their TV and watching the Super Bowl? And can they even do that? Like, is it on regular Russian network TVs, or is it some obscure television channel that they have to subscribe to? I have no idea how any of that works, okay? But I know they have just tons and tons of media from not just America, but all over the world covering it. Of course, if you look at just American sports, and really not even American sports, if you just look at American television in general, take maybe the top, let's say, 25 just televised events of all time in the United States. You know how many of them are Super Bowls? Okay? 18 of them are Super Bowls. There are no other sports represented, by the way, except for boxing. I won't go through the whole list, but the number one... Actually, this is a fun game to play. You can maybe guess along with me. I'll give you a second. And I'm talking about not ratings like percentages. I'm talking about raw numbers of people watching. Do you know, you want to guess, what the most watched televised event of all time in the United States is? Just the United States, not worldwide. I'll give you a second. And it's both, one, unsurprising, but then two, also kind of remarkable when you think of when it happened and what the United States population was back then. It's the moon landing. The moon landing had 150 million people watching it on July 20th, 1969. It is the most watched televised event in the history of the United States. That was at a time in 1969 when the population of America was not that high. It was only 200 million, 203 million people. You know, now we're up near, what, 400 million, something like that? Or even, is it, I have to look it up. I think it's somewhere around 400 million or something. So 203 million was the population back then, and yet that, to this day, remains the most people that have ever watched anything in the U.S. And, you know, it's one of those things where not only was that an American thing, if you go to the numbers worldwide, there were 530 million people watching that. Of, again, 150 were in the U.S., and that's a pretty big number for anything. It still ranks among the most worldwide watched sporting events. The U.S. population right now is 327 million. So the U.S. population hasn't quite doubled, but there were about 50% fewer people back then in 1969 than there are now. And you still have, again, that setting the record by far amongst American televised events. So that's number one. Non-sports, not just everything in general. Number two, if you want to try and take a stab, Richard Nixon's resignation speech. That was on August 9th, 1974. That had 128 million viewers in America. Again, the moon landing and Richard Nixon's resignation speech were on multiple networks, not just one network. 118 million people at the number three spot watched the start, the launching of Operation Desert Storm in Iraq on January 17th, 1991. Again, multiple networks. Those are the top three. And then you get to number four, which is also number one on the list of shows that appeared on one network at one time. And that is, it's actually Super Bowl 49, which was the one between the Patriots and the Seahawks back in February of 2015. So the 2014 season. And that was the one, of course, with the Malcolm Butler interception on the goal line. That's the most watched Super Bowl of all time. And that one had 114 million people. And then looking down the list from there, the next eight are all Super Bowls. The MASH finale was in there at number nine. Roots Part 8, January 30th, 1977 on ABC is number 11. Then more Super Bowls. Ali Sphinx 2 in 1978 is on the list. And other than that, it's all Super Bowls. Like, it's all Super Bowls. So then I started thinking, hey, where does this compare worldwide? Well, the most watched thing ever was the Beijing 2008 opening ceremony. That was like nearly 2 billion people watching that. So that is literally almost half of the world's population watching something. Which is both incredible when you think about how many people that is, and then also incredible when you think about how still less than half of people, like no matter what you do, less than half the people are watching it. Like there's nobody, even in America, like it said, what do we got? A little over 300 million people. We're going to have just under a third of that watching the game on Sunday evening. And think about, like, two-thirds of the people not watching the Super Bowl. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you're probably a sports fan. I'm a sports fan. You know, for you and me and most people that we're friends with, even if they're not hardcore fans, we're going to watch. But think about how two-thirds of the population out there is just going to be like, nah, I'm doing something else on Sunday. It's unimaginable to me. And yet it's probably unimaginable to a lot of people that people like us could be so beholden to something no matter what. I mean, I can't think of anything. Like, I literally, except, again, if, like, my wife was going into labor or something, and even then, you know, I'd have it on in the room or something like that. But I can't think of a single thing that would prevent me, besides, again, something like a birth or, heaven forbid, a death, that would prevent me from watching the Super Bowl. I mean, there's just nothing. And I'll be doing that this Sunday. And there is a reason, all right? When I look back over the years, like, I actually, going back to the first Super Bowl I remember, I'm 38, I was born in 1980, and the first Super Bowl I remember actually watching on TV, I very vaguely remember a party at a friend of my mom and dad's house for the Super Bowl that was here in Tampa, the Redskins and the Raiders, and what was that, like 84? But I don't remember actually watching the game on TV. I remember the Bears and the Patriots, 46-10 from the Superdome, watching that at my Aunt Linda's house. That's the first Super Bowl I remember actually watching plays from on the screen. I was 5 years old. And there is a reason why when I look back from that Super Bowl on, that was 1985 season, I guess it would have been January 1986, and every single one since then, without any exceptions, every single one since then, I can tell you where I watched the game. I can tell you, yeah, that was Aunt Linda's house, or that was at my buddy Drew's house, or it was a, I mean, I can go down the list. And how many sporting events are like that? Can you remember where you watched every single edition of a sport? I love the Masters. I can't tell you where I watched every Masters over the years. The Kentucky Derby is probably the only other one for me personally where I can say, yes, I watched that Kentucky Derby. And I can tell you all the Derby winners going back to 1973 with Secretariat as well. But that's just a weird horse racing thing that I'm into. But for, I mean, the Super Bowl, it pretty much, you know, it's different. I can tell you the longest pass reception in the Super Bowl for a touchdown, Musin Muhammad, in that game against the Patriots, with the Panthers and Patriots, the 32-29 game. I can remember scores. I can remember MVP. You know, I don't do that for any other, and I don't, like, sit down and look at a list to remember these things. I just remember it, and I guess that's what's so cool about the Super Bowl, is I know that no matter what happens on Sunday, and I hope it's a good game, it looks like it could be, but no matter what happens on Sunday, I'm going to remember it for a long, long time. And in the end of the day, I mean, when you really look at these things and what seems important and what doesn't seem important, like, oh, this game doesn't matter, this game does, it's not even really what's at stake that makes it feel important, because the Super Bowl is big, obviously, we know that. But what makes something feel important is knowing that whatever is about to happen is something you know you'll remember in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. And as much as I love all kinds of sports, most of the sports we watch, especially as I get older, I mean, my memory, my long-term memory is really good. I remember all the things I've always remembered from the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, you know, my childhood. And I, the stuff that's happened in the past 10 years, I just, it all just, it's like waves crashing on the beach, it just rolls on and on. I don't remember any of it that well, except for stuff like this. But that's the point. It's like with hockey, I do a show on lightningpowerplay.com. If you're a hockey fan, you can check my show out on Thursdays, tblpowerplay.com. And it's not a podcast per se, but it's similar to this type of show, only it's a Lightning version of it. And the Lightning are having one of those seasons right now. I mean, even though they lost the other night, they're way out in front. They're just dominating. This is one of the most unbelievable regular seasons in Lightning history. And you know what I say on my show every single week on that show? You won't remember any of this. You will not remember barely a damn thing. I mean, think back to 2000, if you're a hockey fan. Think back to 2004 when the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. I have so many memories of that. I mean, I can remember so many things, and 99% of those memories are from the playoffs and onward. I remember all four series. I remember all the games in each series. I mean, I remember everything, and I have maybe one or two memories from the regular season that year. Last year, same thing. All these recent years where the Lightning have gone as far as they've gone, including back to the Stanley Cup final in 2015. And I don't remember anything from those regular season. I remember the playoffs. That's what you're going to remember. And football's a little bit different because a majority of the season, you know, the way it's structured with just games once a week and stuff, there's only 16 games to begin with. So with football over the years, I remember so many regular season things with the Bucks. But the Super Bowls, both the Bucks won and non-Bucks won, I remember them all very well. So however you're going to spend this weekend watching the game, just think of it in those terms. Like, I know what we're seeing right now is something we're going to remember for a long, long time, even if it's a blow. I remember the blowouts, the good games, the bad games, and that's kind of what makes it cool. And, you know, there's a certain art to watching the Super Bowl. I know this is obviously the biggest weekend for things like ordering pizza or wings. I mean, they have all these stats about how many wings will be consumed this weekend and how many chicken tenders or whatever the hell it is. You know, it's aside from Thanksgiving, it's the biggest food weekend of the year. I think it's even bigger than, might even be bigger than Christmas. I have to look that up. Point is, you can watch the game, and it depends on what level of football fan you are, and it depends on what level of football fan you want to surround yourself with for something like this, because it's tricky, and there's an art to finding just the right blend of atmosphere versus focus on the game. My buddy, Drew, who I mentioned earlier, my buddy Andrew is the one that I have a Drew and an Andrew. But anyway, my buddy Andrew, he does a Super Bowl party at his house every year. And for the last like 10 years, that's where I've watched the Super Bowl. It's where I'll be again on Sunday. And he's got a great place. He's got a theater room with a huge screen, but then he's got a nice regular living room screen and all that. And the reason I'm telling you this is because you might be watching the game at your house alone, or you might be going to a big party with dozens of people, or you might be going to a medium-sized party with five or six people, that type of thing. And you got to strike that balance. Here's what I've not liked about going to, this is a bigger party with probably 20 to 30 people over the years, what I call, first of all, catch-up people. And it's not catch-up like the condiment, it's people you have to catch up with. I can't tell you how many times over the past few years I've been sitting on the couch watching the game, and you walk into the party. I usually get there before the game, so I have enough time to say hello to everybody before the game starts. But catch-up people are people you're kind of acquaintances with, that you know. You're not necessarily buddies with them. You don't see them, but maybe once or twice a year at gatherings like this. And so it's like, hey, man, what's going on? Then you got to do all the small talk. Hey, man, how you been? Oh, kid's good? Yeah. And meanwhile, the game's going on. I'm not comfortable with that. Like, I like to talk to people during the game, but about the game. And when I'm sitting down with just my inner circle folks, not that I'm like a snob about my friends, but I just mean when I'm sitting down with my core group of guys and we're all watching a game, it's fine. But when you start bringing in all these people who I know well enough that I can't ignore them without being, you know, a dickhead, pardon my language, you know, I have to go talk to them, but at the same time, I don't really have anything to say to them. They don't have anything to say to me. They're catch-up people. I have to catch up with them. How's your kid? Good. Same kid from last year? Good. Okay, my kid's good too. Let's watch the game now. You know, that's what it's like. And if you get to a party with too many of those people, it can, for me, be a distraction from the game. I don't know how you feel about this. But at the same time, there's the other end of the spectrum. And on the other end of the spectrum, and I've done this before too, is just watching the game on your own, not inviting anybody over and not going to anybody's house. And some people love that. Some people prefer that. I've done that before, and it doesn't feel big enough when I do that. Like, the Super Bowl is too big of a deal for me to be sitting just at home like any other Sunday night. Oh, I put my kid to bed, then come downstairs, and me and my wife just sit there and watch the Super Bowl. I need more. You know, I don't mean anything against my wife. I just mean, like, the Super Bowl's too big for that. Like, I need some sort of atmosphere. So you got to find, again, that right blend of atmosphere versus focus on the game. Too little of the atmosphere, even though you're plenty focused on the game and it's not that good. On the other end, too much atmosphere. I mean, this party, for example, this party, great atmosphere, lots of people. There's a lot of people there, though, that are just there for the party. They don't care about the game. There's always, and you know these people as well as I do, maybe you are one, I don't mean any offense, but I can't stand these people, so I guess it's somewhat offensive. but the commercial people. Oh, I want to see the commercials. I'm really just interested in the commercials. I don't care about the game that much. It's a commercial. And one, they're never that good. But two, and I could do a whole show on this, this brand worship crap we get into in the United States especially. It's not just the United States by far, but that's what I'm focused on, right? You know, oh, what's the latest Coke commercial? Or what did Nike do? I could care less. I mean, I literally treat the commercials during the Super Bowl like any other sporting event or any other television show for that matter that I watch. And I get up and go get a cup of water or something like that or whatever it is I'm going to do. I want to watch the commercials. Go on YouTube at the end of the game and they'll have them all just lined up. You can do that whole thing. But the point is, that's what I'm saying. Too much of the atmosphere and you get commercial people. You get catch-up people. We have a lot of people that bring kids and I'll be bringing my kids. But what people with younger kids, what do? This has happened a few times over the years and it kills it every time. They leave at halftime or after the halftime show or early third quarter and the most incredible moments of the game and of the season for that matter are happening then. Last year or 2 years ago, amazing comeback with the Patriots down 28-3 in the fourth quarter, one of the most exciting Super Bowls of all time. And when all that was happening, like people were like cleaning up, trying to come up to me, oh hey, great seeing you Bobby, like they're literally doing this while the Patriots are driving down the field trying to tie the game down 28-20 in the final. Hey, good seeing you too. I don't know if you noticed, like there's a 2-minute drill going on for the entire World Championship of Football here, but hey, good seeing you too. Like, I don't need that. So again, it's hard to get that balance struck. I think this year my buddy has kind of culled it a little bit, narrowed it down. A few more of the hardcores, a few less of all. I don't want to call them hangers on, but a few less of the filler. Let's call them filler. And these are people I like, and under any of their circumstances, I'd love to sit down and talk to them, but just not during these 3 hours on Sunday. So it'll be fun. I recommend to you, if you're going to err on one side or the other, err on the side of being social. Like I tell you every week when we're watching the Bucks when they're 4-8 or whatever it is, you know, use these games as an excuse to get together with people that maybe you don't get together with that often, people you don't see as often and you want to have fun with and things like that. And use it as a chance to reminisce. I sat down, as I do every year this week, on the anniversary, and I tweeted it, and people went nuts on Twitter, or at least for me they went nuts. I don't have a million followers or anything, but I just tweeted 16 years ago today. It was last week on January 26th. And I tweeted pictures of the Bucks beating the Raiders in the Super Bowl. And to this day, and forever going forward, even if the Bucks win more Super Bowls, January 26th, it's almost like my wedding anniversary. Like, I always remember it. Hey, it's January 26th. Today's the anniversary of the Super Bowl when the Bucks won it. And obviously, it usually comes now that they do the bye week in that middle week, so you're already thinking about the Super Bowl anyway. But every year, it's my little tradition. I like to sit down, and you can do this now with smart TVs and you know, YouTube on your TV and all that, and I queue up the Bucks Super Bowl, you know, the NFL films, little things they do for every Super Bowl. I watch the Bucks one every year with my son, who's now 7, who's old enough to start understanding this, and I, you know, this is like the second or third year I've done it with him, where he now really gets it, and I talk to him about that night and where I was and all the people that were there. And how we felt the week of the game. And I do all this. And I had so much fun doing that this year. I was watching the one where they did with John Lynch and Warren Sapp and John Gruden. And they kind of narrate the story themselves. And they show clips of that whole season. And then, of course, it culminates with the win over the Raiders. And I'll tell you what. Talk about remembering things. I remember every single thing about that night except for two things. One, the commercials. I remember nothing about the commercials. And to the halftime show. I couldn't even tell you. Like, I remember the national anthem. Like, the Dixie Chicks. I remember that very vividly. And they did a hell of a job. And the flyover and all that. I remember that. I remember watching that. Of course, almost every play of the game I can remember now. And then the halftime, I have no idea what I even did at halftime. But I didn't watch the halftime show. And, of course, all the aftermath. And no commercials or anything like that. But one day, as you watch... And for a lot of Bucks fans, you know, it's been long enough now where there's a new generation of Bucks fans. And some of you guys either may not have been Bucks fans back in 2002 or in some, I mean, 16 years. Some of you, if you listen, we have some young guys listening, may not have even been born, or at least they were too young to remember back then. It will happen again one day. I don't know when it's going to be, but it will happen again one day. And it will be glorious. And every time I watch a Super Bowl, every year, no matter who's playing, in my mind's eye, I picture, you know, my team running out of the tunnel and those end zones painted in my team's color. That was the coolest part. Like, I was always wondering, like, what would it be like when the Bucks finally made it and it was them on national TV getting all the attention, and that end zone. I used to fantasize about the end zone being painted with the old orange colors, and then that never happened. But, you know, then it was painted with the red and the Bucks in black letters, and I was like, man, that's going to be cool one day when that happens. And it finally did. There's nothing like seeing your team in the Super Bowl for the first time. Most of us have done that now if you were around in 2002. But if not, you'll get that chance again one day. And I hope it's sooner rather than later. Speaking of the Bucks, and speaking of making that day come sooner rather than later, a couple questions. We're going to do a lot, you know, obviously once the Super Bowl passes and we're done with everything involving this season, we'll start looking at free agency and everything, the draft and all that stuff. I did get a tweet from one of my real loyal listeners. I appreciate Travis Combs. Travis had a couple things. First of all, he says, what are your thoughts on the likelihood of the Bucks signing Tyrann Mathieu? Well, couple things on that. Two different ones. Thoughts and likelihood are different. Likelihood, I'm not so sure. I know he's made some overtures this past week that he wants to go back to Houston. I don't know how rock solid those are. There's going to be a lot of suitors for him. I think, and I'm not usually one of these guys that just, oh, go out and get this guy. I really do think he'd fit well with the Buccaneers. And obviously he has history with Bruce Arians. I think he'd be seamless in the Todd Bowles defense. And certainly with the help they need. And you know, some of it hinges on how they look at Justin Evans, whether they look at him as more of a free safety or a strong safety, and whether that'd be a compliment to bring in someone like Mathieu. But I think either way, I mean, the Bucks need what someone like him brings to the table. And yeah, I would love to see that. I mean, we'll talk more about like cap space and things like that coming up. The Bucks don't rank that high as far as cap space in the 32 teams. They're in the bottom, I should have checked before the show, but they're in the bottom third, I think, or maybe even bottom quarter of the league as far as how much cap space they have right now. But that is all subject to change based on some very big decisions, like DeSean Jackson, for example, who openly pined to be playing for the Rams this week, in case you were wondering, and like Gerald McCoy and things like that. So they don't have a ton of cap space right now, but depending on people that are retained or not retained, or decisions they make on things like Donovan Smith and franchise tags or what have you, you know, those things could all, and I don't think they're going to franchise tag Donovan Smith, but my point is, they may have the money, it just doesn't look like it yet. So we'll see about that, but I do think that would be something, and I'm sure they're interested. I mean, there's no question. I don't think the Bucks need to be like told, hey, go look at this guy, but they're not the only ones, and we'll see if Mathieu even wants to be here. I don't think it'd be a problem with the head coach, obviously, but you know, there's a lot of other factors at play. Travis also asked, how do incentive-based contracts affect the cap? Like if we restructure Gerald McCoy's contract but add incentives, like he reaches certain stats, all-pro, Pro Bowl, that type of thing. And that's a good question, Travis. And I actually had to look that up myself because there's a couple different ways they do it as far as incentives go. So in general, and I'm not just talking about Gerald McCoy, but in general, the way incentives work, there are two different types. There are likely to be earned incentives, which you'll sometimes see listed as LTBE, likely to be earned incentives. And then there are not likely to be earned incentives. And obviously, likely to be earned ones are ones that are maybe low threshold type incentives, or ones they expect the player to make that are just basic parts of the contract. The not likely to be earned ones might be sort of like pie in the sky, like if you have 25 sacks this year, we'll pay you $75 million, that type of thing. So when you have a likely to be earned incentive, it could be like starting 8 games. I'm just making these up, but that type of thing, you know, something that is a relative likelihood to happen. Those count against the cap, and there's something that go, you know, before the season starts, they're considered part of basically your salary. So a likely to be earned incentive is one of those. Not likely to be earned ones are ones that don't get charged to you unless they happen after the fact. And remember with the salary cap, it's not a one-year thing, it's a rolling four-year thing. So like, you have to be under the cap, and then you have to be over the floor, which is, I think, 89%. Like, no team can be under 89% for of spending of the salary cap. But that's for 4 years. So if you want to spend 85% of the cap 1 year, as long as in the next few years you go over 90% a couple times, and it evens out to average over 89% over 4 years, then you're good. But that's an example, you know, just a basic one of how the incentives work. The ones that are likely to be earned or considered to be already have happened. And if they don't happen, then you get the money back, or the imaginary cap money back, and you can use it against your cap next year. But they consider them part of it until that happens. And the ones that are not likely is the opposite. They're not counted unless they happen. So something like that's possible with Gerald McCoy. I'm not sure what they're going to do. And there was actually a really good piece written, and obviously if you come to Joe Bucks fan, there's all kinds of pieces, and somebody else wrote, I will credit them properly next week, I need to make sure I get who it was right, but there was a good piece written that kind of broke down everything the Bucks are looking at, and I'll tweet it out when I get a chance. And we at Joe Bucks fan freely retweet other Bucks blogs or other sources from news and things like that all the time. I want to make sure I have the right one. But the Bucks have some interesting decisions, as any team does, any offseason coming up, but especially for the Bucks. I mean, DeSean Jackson, for example, you know, you've got this whole thing, and Joe wrote a great article that kind of went behind the scenes a little bit, looking at some of the things that DeSean Jackson has said and some of the stuff in the locker room that happened over the course of the season this past year. But he went, you know, it's Super Bowl week, he's been talking to lots of people, doing interviews and things like that, and this is what Jackson had to say about practicing and just the way he conducts himself in his 11th year. Quote, not to say anything bad about anybody else, but you have younger guys that need the reps on a Friday where they have to see it. And then he changed his voice to imitate a quarterback. Like, I need to see me throw my hardest to get ready. And I'm like, bro, I'm in my 11th year. Like, you know, let's calm this down a little bit. Let's get ready for Sunday. So, you know, one of the things, I guess one of the issues he had with Dirk Cutter is apparently that Cutter expected him to practice normally like any other member of the team all the time, and DeSean Jackson at this stage of his career wants to just ball out on Sunday. Now, I said this before and I'll say it again. All right? I don't think the Bucks ultimately need to be in the business of someone like DeSean Jackson, but if Bruce Arians thinks he can handle it and they can handle it, then fine. Yeah, I'm not saying trash him at all costs. I trust Bruce Arians. You have to acknowledge, no matter how much disgust you might have hearing the things DeSean Jackson says or hearing stories about what he might have done or watching his play, you know, you may just be one of those people that doesn't want anything to do with a guy like that. And that's fine. That's a perfectly valid opinion. But, all right, he does make a difference on the field. You saw it this past season. And I'm not saying it's justification for keeping him. Again, I probably still wouldn't. But the Bucs offense kind of petered out there toward the end of the year, and there were obviously lots of factors at play. I'm not saying it was one guy, and of course the quarterback. But even, you know, when Jameis was finally back and he was the guy and we got past all the Fitzmagic stuff and everything, toward the end there, I mean, it wasn't the same. I mean, when Jackson hurt himself and he wasn't playing, you know, that one guy being able to stretch the field on one side of the field opened up a lot of things for a lot of other people. And he is a difference maker. Even at his age now, he made a difference in that offense. And if you lose a guy like that, you will notice a difference. I mean, that will hurt you a little bit. It may be worth it. I mean, I'm not saying just give in to every one of this guy's whims and demands and all that stuff. I don't know if he's that important, but he is important to a degree. So if he were to go, the Bucks would miss him. Been hearing a lot about Kareem Hunt, you know, and that's something that's been Twitter battles going on back and forth. Oh, we should get Kareem Hunt. No, you can't have a guy like that. On and on and on. John Romano wrote a good column about it in the Tampa Bay Times, saying, you know, the Bucks just simply can't afford to bring in a guy like that. If you don't know, Kareem Hunt, of course, has had off-field issues, but that's putting it mildly. He has committed acts of violence, or at least one videotaped act of violence against a female. He's had a couple of other things that were not against females, but some people, and it's not just fans, I mean, teams are looking at him, and some people say the Bucks should be one of those teams. You know, I'm not the type of person, when someone does something bad, even if it's, and this is really bad, I mean, I'm not trying to diminish this in any way, but I mean, I'm not going to say he should never be allowed to play football ever again in his whole life, but Romano made a good point. You know, the Bucks don't have the capital for that right now, given that they kind of already made an exception with Jameis Winston and his shaky behavior, and they're trying to kind of get that whole thing leveled out, and we hope we can return to normalcy. And not just Jameis, but really, it's just not a move the Bucks are in position to make right now. Now, I think that's, again, a very valid opinion. But you could be saying, oh, Bobby, screw capital. You don't sign a guy like that, period, period. And again, that's fine. I'm looking at it from all perspectives, though. If you just want to go the route, hey, why are we even talking about this? He was violent toward a woman. That's it, period. He should not be here. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not arguing against that. But even if you do think he deserves a second chance, here is not the place for it. I don't think the Bucks necessarily... He's a good player. I mean, there's no question about it. But I've said this before. I mean, what did the Chiefs lose when they lost him? I mean, they seem to be pretty okay, right? I mean, guys like that, I'm not saying they don't make an impact, but there's different positions on the field that make different impacts. And with Kareem Hunt, considering the blowback and considering, you know, your own moral scruples, whatever they may be and whatever the Glazers may be, that's just not a road they have to go down in any event. So one other bit of news about the Bucks, which is pretty cool. They signed Roger Kingdom. If you're a track and field fan from the past 30, 40 years, you might recognize that name. 110-meter hurdle, gold medalist in L.A. in 84 and Seoul in 88, and he's going to help Bucks players get faster. They made some other strength and conditioning moves as well, but Roger Kingdom's name kind of jumped off the page a little bit, obviously, if you're, again, someone who remembers him or recognizes that name from the Olympics. So after Sunday, we'll be back next week. We'll get into all the stuff going on with the Bucks, and, of course, we'll be able to turn our attention to the combine, the draft, free agency, all that stuff, the schedule release. I mean, the NFL strings it out, so there's always something going on with the NFL being in the news at least every couple of weeks all throughout the offseason. And until then, folks, we got one football game left. One, all right? And there won't be another one until August at any level, high school, college, or pro, until August. That makes me a little bit sad. I always get a little bit sad leading up to the Super Bowl, but I also always get a little bit excited because it's one of my favorite sporting events. Think about this, and maybe you're not like me, but you might be. How many sporting events that don't directly involve your team necessarily, how many sporting events do you wake up the morning of that day with a little extra bounce in your step, and the first thought that crosses your mind when you open your eyes is, hey, it's blank today? I mean, think of how many are there, because I'm thinking right now. The Super Bowl is one. The College Football National Championship is another. Masters Sunday is another. The Kentucky Derby is one. I can't think of anything besides those four where I wake up that morning and the first thought that crosses my mind when I open my eyes is, hey, the so-and-so is today. But Sunday, that's what I'll happen. I'll wake up in the morning, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And Masters Sunday is the same way, like I said. And I'm a big horse racing guy. Kentucky Derby Day is always like that for me, too. And what was the other one? I forgot already. Oh, the college football title game, which is always a good. And then, again, those are just games that don't involve my teams, just overall sporting events. I can't think of any others. I mean, I love baseball, but the World Series doesn't come across my mind right when I wake up. Stanley Cup Final, if it's not the Lightning, same way. You know, there's only a handful of these type of events, and we get one on Sunday, and it is the greatest show in American sports all the way through. Have fun with it. Be safe if you are going to a party or something like that, and, you know, you're going to be drinking or whatever. Just make sure you have arrangements made or you know what you're doing out there, and I trust that you all do. And, you know, have a chance to see old friends. don't give the stiff arm to the catch-up people. Talk to them for a few minutes. Hopefully there's a way to work around everything and not miss too much of the game. So with that, I want to thank the Joes for helping get me on the air. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, as always. Again, check out the website, BillCurryFord.com, or go down to the place a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side of the road. I want to thank all of you. If you want to get an email off to me or a tweet, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, @BobbyGameDay on Twitter. I'm Bobby Fenton. Enjoy the Super Bowl. As for the game, which I didn't talk about the game itself much, I am considering, just so you know, making one of the larger bets I've ever made on the Patriots at anything less than a field goal that they're giving. And right now, I think it's 2.5, or even if it's right at 3. Or I might just go money line. But I feel like, yeah, it's close on paper. Yeah, all the metrics and all the numbers and formulas. But at the end of the day, you got Belichick versus McVay, and you got Brady versus Goff. And watching what that Patriots offensive line was able to do against the Chiefs, and watching the Rams be lucky to be here, you know, when it really looked like the Saints should have won that game, even beyond just the call. You know, I just feel like you don't get this kind of value very many times in your life, but when you have a chance with a game like this where, to me, it seems like the Patriots aren't like a double-digit favorite or anything, but they're the team I expect to win, and I don't have to give anything more than a score. Like, I can give less than a field goal. I'm going to do it. So that's my thoughts on it. You might want to go the other way. I'm not particularly adept at sports gambling, but I always come back for more. No matter what, though, have fun with it. Enjoy yourselves. I will be back next week. Think about the day that'll come one day when the Bucks are playing in this game, and it will come again. And until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night, enjoy the Super Bowl, and go Bucks.